been in this case and the assistance you've been to both your client and the court. Thank you. The case is taken under advisement. Our next case for argument this morning is United States against Graff. Mr. Knoll. I hope it's nothing about you that's driving the entire audience away.
That wouldn't surprise me.
They're anticipating what's coming up in this case?
I hope not.
Anyway, please proceed.
May it please the court, my name is Peter Nolte. I represent Daniel Graff, the appellant here and defendant below. Counsel, keeping in mind, I guess, the court's comments at the beginning of the first case that was argued this morning and your more recent comments, I'm going to, I guess, spend most of my time on the non-Booker issue, that dealing with the consent to search, which led to the seizure of certain rifles, which in turn led to the charges against Mr. Graff. Consent, as the court knows, was given by Mr. Graff's mother, with whom he resided on a part-time basis, I guess is the best way of putting it. There was no question raised really below, and there isn't here, with regard to Mr. Graff's standing to challenge this. And as I'm sure you are aware, our position in this case is that quite simply, the district court committed error in finding that the consent given by Lila Graff was voluntary and therefore valid. It's not disputed by the government that they have the burden of proving the voluntariness of a consent. And the evidence that they presented on that was essentially the objective observations of the deputy who obtained the consent from her. He testified that she didn't appear to him to be delusional or out of touch with reality. She apparently could understand English.
And he apparently had a reasonable basis for that conclusion, did he not?
I beg your pardon?
I say he apparently had a reasonable basis for believing that to be the case.
That she was not delusional?
Yeah.
Well, she didn't appear delusional, I think, is what his testimony was.
Plus, when she knew this was about guns, she even said, well, you know, my husband has guns, and right. He keeps them a certain place. And she went there, found the guns, came back. I mean, you know, in terms of whether somebody's plugged in or not to what's going on, that's certainly an indication of that.
It is. I'm not suggesting that it is not an indication at all, but you know,
don't you have to have some evidence that there would be manifested to him that she was delusional?
No, I don't think his. I think.
I mean, isn't that the purpose of the exclusionary rule, is to keep people from doing things that violate the Fourth Amendment? And I don't see how you can have any deterrent effect here unless there's something that involves the officer that's doing the search.
Well, I think the issue in
I mean, you don't expect him to be a psychiatrist or to check out the psychiatric background.
No, I don't. And I don't suggest that at all. But I guess what I am suggesting to you is that it's my understanding that in determining whether a consent pursuant to, or I'm sorry, a search pursuant to consent is proper, you have to show that the consent was in fact voluntary, not whether someone thought it was voluntary. I think there's a difference there.
Well, if there's a reasonable basis for believing that it's voluntary, isn't that good enough? That's my question.
Well, I don't think that the court had a reasonable basis for believing it's voluntary, given the evidence that was presented.
Well, I'm talking about the officer that was making the search.
All right.
Did he have a reasonable basis for believing this woman to be Compass Mendes?
Did he? I'm sorry, I didn't catch
that. Did he have a reasonable basis for believing this woman was not delusional?
I guess in the sense that she didn't appear outwardly delusional, yes.
Well, isn't that what ought to be the test under if this is an application of the exclusionary rule?
No, because I think that in consent cases, the issue is whether it is in fact voluntarily given or not, not whether the officer in this case subjectively in his mind thought it was.
You may be talking past one another, but the Fourth Amendment doesn't have any standards about consent in it. The Fourth Amendment doesn't talk about consent. It doesn't talk about burdens of proof. It says that searches must be reasonable. Now, ordinarily, one would say a search is reasonable because of the consent. The question that's being asked isn't a search equally reasonable if a person with apparent authority and apparently sane gives what appears to a normal person to be a consent? Right? And given that it's all a reasonableness question. This is similar to the question whether if you have a person who has apparent authority but not actual authority, and that person consents, is a search based on that consent proper? And the Supreme Court said in Rodriguez against Illinois that it is, that apparent authority is enough. So the question that's being asked is why isn't apparent sanity enough?
Well, because the whether, I guess in terms of your question, to answer your question, a search is presumptively unreasonable if there's no warrant, and it is only by some exception to the warrant requirement that the government can sustain a warrantless search. The reasonableness, if you will, of the officer's conduct doesn't suffice, in my judgment, for...
Then what do you make of the apparent authority cases and the holding in Rodriguez?
Well,
you have somebody who gives consent who lacked actual authority to consent but had apparent authority. The court holds that's enough because it's judged from the officer's perspective. And you get my question. Why, if apparent authority is enough, is not apparent sanity enough?
Well, I guess the short answer to that is that because the Supreme Court heretofore has never held that and has always held that you have to show that the consent was in fact
voluntarily given. But then your problem is the apparent authority case would have come out the other way because the person giving consent lacked actual authority to consent.
Well, it might have.
But it also seems to me that what you're saying, that an officer now has to say, if we agree with your position, he has to check with the person, not only to find out whether or not they can give consent, but whether or not they're sane. So that part of the, you would just ask, you know, you had any mental problems, any issues lately, you know, before you find out.
Well, I don't think they have to question their sanity, but I mean...
Otherwise, we're left with objective criteria, the objective criteria being that he acted reasonably, I think, given how she reacted and how she responded to the questions and what she did.
But we also have the evidence from the psychiatrist that testified that despite how she appeared and might have appeared, she had been suffering from this fixed paranoid disorder for at least the 2 years that this doctor had treated her, and apparently for some time prior to that. I think this is somewhat of an unusual circumstance, and officers, when they ask consent, certainly will notice things about sobriety, I suppose, but I don't think this that ruling that the court was in error here would somehow place a burden on any officer in another case, or every other case, to question the sanity of someone giving consent. I don't think it would go that far. And the medical evidence, which was presented, showed clearly that this woman, for a long time, had suffered from this very significant mental disorder, which could only be controlled with medication, that she was non-compliant with medication, and that in the absence of medication, she had she would lose touch, or was not in touch with reality. I don't think that the requirement of a voluntary consent is met by someone in that state, allegedly or quote unquote consenting. And that's we think that the court committed error in so finding.
You're in your rebuttal time if you want to save any.
I beg your pardon?
You're into your rebuttal time if you want to save any.
I'm going to.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Nolte. Mr. Iasparo.
Thank you. May it please the court. Michael Iasparo on behalf of the United States. With respect to the consent given by Lila Grapp, everything about the encounter between the deputy and Mrs. Grapp was objectively reasonable. Everything that he observed was, by his own testimony, objectively reasonable. He based the decision to ask her consent on her appearance, on the encounter between himself and her, the conversations that they had, her questions to him about the guns. There's nothing to suggest that she didn't have the ability to consent and that the consent wasn't anything other than voluntary. Unless this court has any questions about that consent, I'll reserve the remainder of my time. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Nolte, anything in response to that? Very, very brief argument. Well, thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement. Our fifth case for